Luke chapter 23. And the whole multitude of them arose, and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation, and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. The whole multitude of them. The word multitude here denotes an assembly, not a crowd, not a rabble. It's the assembly of the chief priests and the elders. You know, that group as a whole is coming, and they've come before Pilate to accuse him. He's perverting the nation. He's forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, telling him, don't pay your taxes. And we know that isn't true, because Jesus' response was to give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. So this is a false accusation. And Pilate asked him straight out, Are you king of the Jews? Jesus said, Yeah, I'm the king of the Jews. You said it. Remember, that's a Hebraism denoting strong affirmation. Just like when we say, Are you really going to come with us? You said it. That's absolutely right. It's not saying, You say it. What do you mean I say it? I don't say you're king of the Jews. I want to know if you think you're king of the Jews. Pilate clearly understood him. But in this, he's finding no fault in this man. He probably has heard of Jesus to some degree. Maybe not much, but I mean, remember, not every detail. He might have taken consultation, talked to some of his soldiers. Yeah, we've heard of this guy. He's no particular threat. And as far as stirring up the people, I mean, people get excited when he's around, but he's definitely not a rabble-rouser. As far as this other thing about taxes, we don't know. And besides, you know, resentment against the taxes, or as long as the taxes are being paid, they have no evidence that they weren't paid. Maybe they even had a record of him paying. Actually, we have the tax roll here. He paid his taxes. And there's a lot of ways you could look at it, but Pilate found no reason for fault. Even though he admitted to being king of the Jews, the Christ, to him, he kind of, as the governor of Judea, he would have some understanding of their customs. And like understand, oh, okay, he's the Messiah. But he also probably would have had some insight through ministers or other people involved. I mean, they watch their province. The things going on with Jesus wouldn't have totally escaped their notice. And he certainly finds no reason to put him to death. And at this point, not even to punish him. But they really get excited. All these, you know, the chief priests and the elders. How many men is that going to be? 70, 80, 90? Plus their servants, attendants, friends, you know, everyone they brought together who would be against Jesus. Well, the common people had gladly heard Jesus, but this is all being done under cover of darkness and in the early morning hours. And so you had to be sort of privy to it, to be there. You know, to be in the crowd that's standing before Pilate, you would have had to had foreknowledge that there was going to be an event. Because the people weren't in the habit of just hanging around Pilate's residence or his seat of judgment or whatever. People weren't just always hanging out there in the, you know, 4 a.m. or whenever exactly this is. But they came to him in the night, and they come as a multitude, as a assembly all together, to accuse him to the Roman governor. He finds no fault. But they get more fierce, and they start saying he stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. They're like, you don't understand. He's a very compelling figure. Pilate becomes very interested when he hears Galilee. Is this man a Galilean? Well, send him off to Herod. Who knows precisely what he's thinking? I mean, I've thought at times that he wanted to be rid of the troublesome issue of Christ with the Jews and the chief priests. Maybe he wanted to just put him on Herod. Or maybe he thought he would have some fun. Maybe he thought this was a lot of fun, seeing how agitated these the leaders of the Jews were. You know, just how agitated and upset they were about this guy. And he may have taken no small pleasure in seeing these religious leaders really worked up about something he thought should be right up their alley. You know, here's the religious people upset about a religious leader who's a little too radical for them, or who maybe has said some things that were critical of them. Who knows exactly? But he sends them to Herod. Verse 8, "And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him in many words, and he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught, and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves." They weren't friends prior to that day. So there's definitely a bit of, you know, this moment has its difficulty, but it sort of helps Herod and Pilate bond as a sort of this troublesome character. But at the same time, I'm sure, as he's questioning him, right? Herod's questioning Jesus, and that's probably irritating when you ask someone a bunch of questions and they don't answer you. It can be very frustrating. But at the same time, the chief priests and scribes are standing there accusing him of horrible things and just really laying into him. And to see them so upset was probably amusing. And Herod and his men, this guy is nothing. Come on. And they had good sport with him. They mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe. Oh, look at the king of the Jews. I mean, it's funny, the chief priests and scribes were accusing him of being king of the Jews. From Herod's perspective, this is capital. This has to be, to some degree, a lot of irony here. Because Herod is really, Herod's dynasty was not considered legitimate by many Jews because he wasn't of the line of David. And so this king of David comes, and now the men who never held him as legitimate are rejecting the king of the one they say is the son of David. This man says he's the son of David. He's like, well, I never say it. I'm the son of David, and you despise me. And so the dynamic there has to be somewhat amusing for him. And to some degree, the reluctance to actually do anything to Jesus shows the amusement of it all. Oh, you want him killed, do you? Oh, he's no big deal. Put him in a robe. You know, here you go. Here's your king. They think it's funny. And whatever dynamic was going on between Pilate and Herod, this made them friends. You know, Herod would have appreciated him sending someone over to him like that. He always wanted to see this Jesus character, and Pilate sent him to him. And when he came,